After service today, we invite you guys to stay. We're gonna have actually change it up a little bit. And if you think about it, why don't we pass out these little cups with grape juice in them? And I actually had some people tell me one time they didn't take the communion because they thought it was real wine. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, and they don't drink. I'm like, well, that's okay. I don't drink either, but it's not real wine. And so it's symbolic, right? And so you got to think of some of the Bible is also symbolic, you know? You know, when Jesus said, eat my flesh, drink my blood, some people, you know, how are you going to take that literally? You can't. It's symbolic, you know? And a lot of disciples walked away at that point and said, this is too difficult for me to do. I can't do that. You know, I'm not a cannibalist. but he's speaking symbolically. So when we take the Lord's Supper or communion, it's symbolic. So we're going to do that after church today and have a big dinner. So everybody's brought some stuff in, and if not, we're going to go get some more stuff. So I hope everybody's been reading in John. Awesome. Thank you. So we need to read ahead because we're going through John. We've been up through John chapter 4, okay? We knew the first, we're in John chapter 5 now. Yeah. So we've seen the miracles. We've seen Jesus turn the water to wine. We've seen him with the lady at the well. And we talked about, you know, the lady, Jesus said, you've had five husbands, and none of them have satisfied you, and the one you're with now is not. I'm your real husband. This is basically what Jesus was telling the woman at the well. I'm your real husband. I'm the one you've been looking for. And we're going to go in here today and talk about how Jesus, and I love the book of John because it's the story, it's the life of Jesus. And we're going to go in here today and see how an encounter with Jesus changes everything. And I love this story. It's about the man at the pool who had been lame. And so I'm going to read here in verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades or porches. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. I was reading out of the Living Bible, and if you read that out of the different, you're going to get the same picture there out of different translations in the Bible. But if I go to the Legacy Standard, it says, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up from Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. Now you'll notice this version of the Bible has verse 4. Some versions don't. Does this mean that our Bible is, ha-ha, we got you? The Bible is not 100% correct. No, it does not mean that. It means that the earliest manuscripts, the King James Bible, if you know anything about Bible history, the King James Bible was transcribed from previous manuscripts. Since the King James Bible was transcribed, there's been earlier manuscripts found. Example, Dead Sea Scrolls that dated back earlier and different things like that. And so a lot of the modern translations go back to the earliest known manuscripts, which didn't include this, what I'm going to read you. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever sickness with which he was afflicted. And a man was there who had been there for 38 years. Okay? So same picture. Nothing's really changed except this story of this angel that went down and stirred the waters. And when he did, the waters would become healing for people. And so this was something that is not in all the transcripts. May have been added later. May have been, I don't know. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm just saying it doesn't change the context of what we're going to read. But verse 4 is not in some people's Bibles. But let's get the picture here. The blind, the lame, the withered, the sick, they're all laying by this pool. And they're waiting. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for hope and healing. They're longing for that. Their life, this is a picture. Think about it this way. This is a picture of what? The world. We're blind, we're lame, we're withered, we're hopeless. 38 years. 38 years this guy is living in this hopeless state of mind. In fact, he goes on to say, and when he has a conversation with Jesus, I don't have a man to pick me up and put me in the water. This guy can't even walk. Now, listen to what he says. I don't have a man to pick me up. He's counting on man to be the solution to his problem when it's only going to be found in the man of Jesus Christ. Think about this. In all of our problems today, and anything you're going through right now, anything you're struggling with right now, who are you looking to help you? Who is going to help you? Who is the only one that can see you through? Because in reality, it's a mind. It's a renewing of a mind. And where our mind goes, if we always think, not to get psychological on you, but if we always think negative, if we always think, you ever been around someone, the sky's falling every day? And they will wear you out. And they will not on purpose, but they will drag you down with them if you let them. We had a guy when I was working down south in Georgia, South Carolina. He was working with Darren Boyd in the Coast Guard. And he came to Darren. He says, I can't take this anymore. He says, what? You paired me up with this agent. I'm on surveillance. I've been on surveillance for a week with this guy. And this guy, every day the sky's falling. I need counseling. You got to give me somebody else to ride with. So we think about it. It starts in the mind. We need that renewing of the mind. Who is going to renew our mind? The Word, Jesus. The Word gives life. The Word gives life, not death. The world gives death. The world kicks you while you're down. Jesus is the only one going to pick you up. So we need to pay attention here. What's going on? This is a picture of the world, the withered, the lame, the blind, the people that had no hope. And here's this one dude, 38 years in this state. Have you ever been in a situation for 38 years where you saw no hope, nothing to getting better, withered, blind, lame, and sick? And then along comes hope. And this guy doesn't even know who he's about to talk to. And he comes along and he says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? You know, I don't know. I think there's some people that don't want to get well. I think there's some people that just want to stay in their state, in their little miserable state, and just don't want to get well. They don't want to, you know, have the freedom of that. Because this is what Jesus is really offering here, is freedom. Dude, I can't even walk, and you're going to offer me the ability to walk? I'd say that's freedom. And dude, I don't even know the plan of salvation. I don't even know the law of Moses. I'm just an invalid. I'm just laying by the pool. I'm nobody. Now you notice Jesus has gone from Samaritan woman at the well, who had five husbands, and the one she's living with now is not her husband. Basically, in modern day society, we call her a has-been. You know, she's tried all these many times, and something about her that guys are leaving her and not sticking around. There's something going on with her. Been interesting that Jesus embraces her, a Samaritan woman whom despised, the Jews despised the Samaritans. They despised each other. And then he goes to healing a royal official's son. This guy was a royal official. And remember, the royal official came to him and said, Jesus, you know, if you would come, and he says, go, your son lives. I don't even need to go. I don't need to come. Go, your son lives. So he goes to healing a royal official's son. Now he's back to a nobody here. Does this guy have a name? No. No, it just says he's been in that position for 38 years. No hope, no nothing. And Jesus comes along and says, do you want to get well? And that's what Jesus can do to anybody's life. He can turn anybody's life from disaster, stuck in a rut, no hope, no future, to believe in me. I will make you well. I will give you the living water. I will give you hope that endures forever. I will give you eternal life. I will give you life abundantly. In fact, I will give you everything. The Father loves the Son. Does He not give Him everything? And so the guy says, sir, the invalid replied. You know, I like the NIV calls him the invalid, and the LSB calls him, sir, I have no man to put me in the water. Here again, relying on a man. He says, I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Hello, Life 101. Everybody's trying to get ahead of everybody, right? Everybody's trying to manipulate everybody. Let me get ahead of you. Let me get ahead of you. I want more money. I want more this. I want more fame. I want more power. I want more glory. And so man is constantly trying to get ahead. Run to the front of the line. You ever landed on an airplane on the tarmac, Oakley? And you landed on the airplane, and the impatient people like me, boy, you're up quick. Don't want you to get ahead of me. Ever got behind a car going up the road here, and they're in the left lane, and you try to get around them, and they're like speed up or something, or just mess with you, and you're like, dude, you know, if you're going to go slow, that's okay. I want to go a little faster. But no, you can't get ahead of me. Ever got to a merging lane where the lane merges and everybody gets in one lane and it's backed up a mile and a half, and somebody gets in the other lane and gets up and everybody's like trying to run him off the road? You can't get ahead of me. That's the world. That's the world. You can't get ahead of me. I worked hard to get where I'm at. You don't deserve to be here. I've heard thousands of people. I worked for the government for years. You have no right to be promoted over me, Paul, because I've been here 20 years. You've only been here one. And then you get promoted over me, and I'm like, what happened? Well, he actually worked. I didn't. So there are reasons for things. But this is what he's saying. He says, everybody's jumping in front of me. Now, God's going to come along and say, I'm not going to give it to the fastest. I'm not going to give it to the richest. I'm not going to give it to the most well-versed in the Bible. I'm not going to give it to the most people that seem most religious. I'm going to give it to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to destroy your way of thinking, is what Jesus is saying. I'm going to destroy your hierarchy of religion, is what Jesus is saying. You don't have to work, and climb the ladder to get to God. God has descended to us. He's destroyed the ladder. There is no ladder. We don't have to work to try to impress Him. He's already impressed with you. God demonstrated His love for us. We should know this by heart. Say it with me. God demonstrated His love for us. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. Fresh out of Romans. Amen? Amen. So this is the world system. Fight, get ahead, beat somebody down. Oh, guess what? Make a rumor up, Tanya. Just make up a rumor. Oh, you don't want to hire this guy. Did you hear about what he did at his last place of work? And you start a rumor. This may be not true, maybe untrue. That's what a rumor is, right? Start something untrue just to get at somebody, to make somebody look bad. Anybody ever been a victim of that? Yeah. Okay? So don't pay any attention to that. God's going to come along and say, whosoever will follow me, I'm going to give you life more abundantly. Now, life more abundantly. We don't have to wait. We usually think of that. Oh, yeah, it's going to get better, and it's going to be all wonderful when we get to heaven. Well, it can be there now because God is within us. God resides in us. We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit is in us. We need to understand our identity, guys. And I'm going to get more on this in a minute. But he says, Jesus said to him, Jesus didn't say, notice what Jesus didn't say. Well, you just need to try harder. Well, you just need to find you a man that can throw you in the pool quickly. Notice what he didn't say, because what Jesus didn't say is as important as what he did say sometimes. What he didn't say was try harder, get a little quicker, move a little closer to the pool, position yourself in the world a little better, make a little more money, do a little more good things, and God will love you more. That's not what he said. He says, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. That's all he says. Maybe God's telling you that today. You've been stagnated. You've been circling this mountain long enough. That's what he told the people in Deuteronomy. Y'all been circling this mountain long enough. You know, they circled it for a year. They were going around in circles, going around in circles. If your life's going in circles, guys, it's time to get up and walk. Get up and walk. God's going to see you through this. That's all he tells him. Quit circling the mountains. You're circling your problems. You're circling issues. You're circling and dealing with the same stuff. It's time to move on. In Deuteronomy, he says, go north. Go north. I'm going to give you a promised land. I'm going to give you a promised land. Now we understand who that promised land is. It's Him. It's Jesus. He is our promised land. He's our Sabbath. He's our promised land. He's our goodness. He's our righteousness. He's our everything. He's everything you've ever been looking for in one person. And here he is. And some people are not going to like it because he didn't do it the way the religious people said he should do it. So maybe it's God telling you today to get up, pick up your mat and walk. And it says at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Now, what changed? What changed there? Yeah, he saw Jesus. He believed the words of Jesus. He demonstrated faith. You said I could get up, pick up my mat and walk? You're actually saying I can do that? And he gets up and he walks because he believes in Jesus. He's just had an encounter with the living God in the flesh. And he believed his words. There's going to be others come along that don't believe his words and they're going to perish. And there's still people today that don't believe the words of Jesus. He's still crying out for people today. He's still crying out for the lost. He's still seeking that one. And when you hear his voice, you never are the same afterwards. So, well, you know, I didn't jump up and down and I didn't scream in tongues and I didn't do this and I didn't. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We all have the Holy Spirit. It's not a feeling. It's a knowing. I've said this all the time. We don't have to work ourselves up. We don't have to have conferences and get together and, pray for 24 hours straight or go on week-long fast to say, God, come be with us. God's already with us. Does everybody get that? We don't have to come to a building here that we call a church and say, you know, God's in this place. He's in this place because you brought him here. Because he dwells within you. And when you leave this place, he's going with you. Isn't that cool? That wherever I go, he's there. I don't have to go to a certain place and pray a certain prayer and fast and do certain things to have God to be with me. He's always with you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will not leave you an orphan. He's always faithful. And the word even says when we're not faithful, he's faithful. You know why? Because he cannot deny himself. And he's already promised his faithfulness to us. And that's what blows me away. And Oakley and I were talking this morning. He's saying, what gives you your strong faith and what gives you, this strong grace? And I said, yeah, it's called hyper grace because I'm hyper Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not preaching hyper grace, you're not preaching Jesus because he's hyper grace. Where sin abound, grace abounded more. There's no sin you can do. You cannot, the blood of Christ is not going to cover. And we walk in that way, but it's the accuser, it's the religion that accuses us. You're not good enough, you're not performing. But anyway, we keep moving here, and he gets up and he walks. And so he says, the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Uh-oh, who's going to have a problem with this? The church people. The religious people are going to have a real big problem with this. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it's the Sabbath, the law forbids. Notice what they look at here. Not the fact that for 38 years, this guy was in a desperate condition. He couldn't even walk. He's surrounded by desperate people. Now he's been freed. And the religious ones, you can't, who told you could carry your mat? It's almost comical. I almost have to laugh at that. Here comes this guy who hasn't walked in 38 years, and he's carrying his mat, and it's on the Sabbath day, and they're like, the only thing they can ask him is, not, holy cow, praise God, you're healed. You were that crazy guy that was sitting by the pool that had no hope, had no future. How are you walking? Not how are you walking. Not who helped you walk, who made you walk. What are you doing carrying your mat? Is that not absolutely hilarious? Wait, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's against our religion. You can't carry your mat. And so it says that he replied, the man who made me well. Did they ask about how did you get well? No. Just why are you carrying your mat? Why are you free? I want to say they're even mad because he's free now. How'd you get free? So free that you can carry your mat on the Sabbath because we're not free. You can't be free. How about that? If I'm not free, you can't be free. If I'm not happy, you can't be happy. Ever run into somebody like that? Yeah. Oh, if something good happens to you, why didn't it happen to me? And da 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 da. And he says, the man who made me well said, he said, so they ask him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who Jesus was. For Jesus had slipped away from the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. And there's two instances Jesus tells someone, go and sin no more. One is, they're both in John, the woman caught in adultery. And he says, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you, go and sin no more. And here, he tells this guy, go and sin no more. Well, how do you do that? Well, how do you go and sin no more? That's like impossible. Because we still have this battle with the flesh. So what's Jesus telling him? Well, what Jesus is telling him is says something worse is going to happen to you. Go to 1 John. Flip over to 1 John chapter 3. And I want to talk just a minute about our identity, because this is going to change your world, and it's going to change the way you think about yourself, and it's going to change the way you view yourself. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. No one who abides in him, abides in who? Abides in who? Jesus. Now, how do we abide in him? We believe by faith. We can never not abide in him once we have given our life to him, once we have received him. To all who have received him, he has given eternal life. You already have eternal life. Now, what happens when you believe? You are born again. The old is gone, the new has come. You're a new creation in Christ. You are redeemed, you are justified, you are righteous. You are sanctified, set apart for him forever. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit forever. Your identity now is in him. Therefore, you abide in him. And no one who abides in him sins. That's you and me. And it says, no one who sins has seen him or has come to know him. So once you've seen him and once you come to know him, you sin no more. That's your identity. Now the reality is, yes, we sin. Chuck, you've lost your mind. You know, I sin every day. Yes, I do too. Sin is basically lawlessness, and righteousness is the exact opposite of that. And we are righteous, so we're not lawless. We are righteous. So in terms of what God is saying here is you're a saint. You have to be to enter his presence. No sin can enter the presence of God. So now think about who you are. You are a saint, not a sinner. You are righteous, not unrighteous. And you don't fall in and out of it. Because here's the problem that we have. The problem that we have is we start looking at our performance. And we start judging ourselves by the law. Well, the law says this. The law says that. Well, yeah, you're under the law. You're under a curse. You're guilty. Always you're going to be guilty under the law. Never are you going to be free and righteous under the law. Apart from the law, apart from him, no one is made righteous. You can't be under the law and be righteous. And we know that because when we do sin, we go, ooh, I know. You know what you did. You know when you got jealous. You know when you got prideful. You know when you got lustful. You know when you, whatever you did, you did. You know that. So it's not that we never sin, it's that we are considered sinless. Does that make sense? It's an identity issue. You have to understand it. The moment you sin, you're forgiven. Well, don't I have to pray and confess? No. That never forgave anyone. The blood is the only thing that forgives. Our belief is the only thing that forgives. I could ask God to forgive me 100 million times, and that's not going to forgive my sin. It might make me feel better. It might make me feel a lot better. You know, God, I really messed up this time. I really hope you're not disappointed in me. He's not disappointed in you. He's all-knowing. He already knew you were going to do that. That's why he paid the price in advance. So now, guess what, guys? Revelation, we can be us, ourselves. We can be ourselves. That's a novel concept. We can be imperfect. That's a novel concept. I thought I had to try. I thought the Ten Commandments are there for me to try. Let me know how that works out for you. Try all you want. You're never going to be righteous in among yourself. And your righteousness is given to you by Him, by our faith. So don't beat yourself up, guys. Don't walk around with guilt. We are walking around free in Christ. Guiltless, blameless, holy. We are a holy people, set apart. This is where we err in our thinking. We got to make up something. We got to atone for something we did. He did it. You can trump what he did? No. He's done it all. It's finished, he says. So he goes in and he says, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. The sin he's talking about too is the sin of unbelief. If you go to Hebrews 3, you can write this down, read it later. Hebrews chapter 3, it talks about the sin of unbelief. There's some other places. John chapter 16 talks about the sin of unbelief. That prevents us from knowing who he is, trusting him, having faith in him, and having eternal life. So the sin of unbelief, stop sinning, means keep believing. That's all it means. Keep believing. Keep believing. And I'm going to help you do that. Because I'm going to keep you forever. Even when you doubt, I'm going to keep you. And so he says, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Notice he didn't say it was Jesus that told him he could carry his bed. He said, it's Jesus that made me well. Let's get back to the point here, guys. It's not the point that I'm carrying my mat and that's illegal. It's the point I'm well now. Aren't you happy for me? Aren't you glad with me? Aren't you rejoicing with me? No, I'm not. Because you're carrying your mat. We get it. We get it, don't we? You're laughing. You get it. Amen. Amen. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried harder to kill him. Why? Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Has he given you life, guys? Amen. Even when we're down and depressed and anxious, we have life. We have life in us. We have Jesus in us, walking with us wherever we go, in the low times, in the high times, in the good times, in the bad times. And here we go with that feeling again. Well, I just don't feel like it, Chuck. I just don't feel like he's with me. He's with you. Here's faith. He's with you. Pick up your bed, get up and walk. Demonstrate it. Demonstrate your faith. You say you have it, get up and walk. And carry your mat too, so you can make the religious people that mad. I think that was a plant. I think Jesus had, you know, God has this incredible sense of humor. Incredible sense of humor. I love it when Adam and Eve are hiding. He goes, where are you? Where are you, Adam? Like, I don't know. That's just funny to me. Like, you know where I'm at. And he knows where you're at. And we want to drop back into our oh ye of little faith thing and think, oh, well, God does understand me because I'm different. And God doesn't get it because I'm going through things nobody else has gone through. I guarantee you, you're going through the same stuff that all of us have gone through. And the same struggles. And who are you going to listen to? Religion or Jesus? Because this man could have said, oh, yeah, you're right. Let me put my mat down and go back to the pool and sit down and stay there and be sick again for another 38 years until I die. But he chose life. He chose Jesus. He could have let the religious people beat him down and say, get back in line. Obey the law. Moses said, the law was given to Moses on the mountain. These are the commandments. Thou shalt not. And you're working on the Sabbath. Get back in line. Jesus came to set us free. We just read about the new covenant. We're not under the old covenant. But how many of us have been raised in churches where they mix the old covenant with the new? And you get really confused. You get really confused. Like, oh, well, wait. Okay, wait. Enjoy your freedom, guys. Don't take your mat and go back to the pool and lay there for another 38 years because religion told you you had to do that. Enjoy your freedom. Get up and walk. Vamos. Is that correct? Vamos? Or dale? Vamos. They say dale down in Cuba a lot. Dale. Go. Amen. All right, let's finish up and then we're going to grab something to eat. So he's talking about how the Father shows the Son everything, and he can only do what the Father does. And look what he says about judgment, verse 22. Let's talk about judgment here. He says, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He does not honor the Son, does not honor the Father. Wow. This all left up to the Son. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Boom. Hello. Wake up. Read that again. What'd he say? I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Quit walking around feeling bad about yourself and your performance. You have no condemnation. I'm going to stop short of saying you're perfect. He will say you're perfect. I'm not going to say I'm perfect, but I'm going to say he thinks I am. If I look at myself, I go, Chuck, you're far from perfect. I mean, you're like, you could be the model for imperfectness. I could be the role model for imperfectness. But guess what? One Father thinks about me. He thinks I'm perfect. Woo, I can smile about that. I can get happy about that. Really, God, you think I'm perfect? Yes, I do. Because I made you perfect. I made you righteous. I made you holy. I made you blameless. And he says, he has crossed over from death to life. You're already living for eternity. You're already living for eternity. We've crossed over. Death has no dominion on us. What are you scared of? Let's go get on a plane, Oakley. What are you scared of? I'm telling you, and I think I can show you from the scripture. I may do a sermon on it sometime. You're not going to die until God's appointed time for you to die. You're not. So everybody says, well, you ride your motorcycle too fast, Chuck. And you do crazy things. You cut trees. You do dangerous things. Well, yeah, I used to be a DEA agent too. And kick doors with people with guns trying to get me. Yeah, I used to do a lot of crazy things. But I got the faith that when it's my time to go meet the Lord, and I can't wait for that day. It's not I'm suicidal or anything. It's just I'm walking in the freedom to know that nothing can touch me until he says. If you don't believe it, go read Psalm. Who is your protector? Who is your guardian? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord. The angel of the Lord encamps around you. You can't touch. You cannot be touched. And forget all this devil doctrine. Oh, the Christians can be demon possessed. That's hogwash. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. He will not share another spirit with himself. Get out of here with that hogwash. The devil cannot touch you. The devil had to go to God and ask permission to touch Job. Can I please? God said, yeah, and I'm going to turn it around to show exactly my glory. And I'm going to show you exactly a man of God that will sit here and say, though he slay me, still I will trust him. Can we say that today? Even if God kills me, still I will trust him. We have no fear. We have none. And he says, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted to the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. And I'm going to close out here. Do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Amen. Amen. We can go forward, guys, and we can get up and walk and quit just circling around and being in a state of I can't do anything because nobody will help me. We're not helpless. We are children of the living God. We're not helpless. We have been given the command to go. That's a command. You ever thought about that? Go. Go. Get up your mat and walk. Go. Go. Your son lives. Go. Go in all the world. Preach. Make disciples. Go into every nation. Go. What's keeping you? May God be with us. And he is. He's not something we need to pray, God, come here and gather in this place with us. It's not something like we got to call him down from heaven. He's way up there and we're way down here. He's right here within you. He's not something we got to work ourselves up and say, oh, God, please see me down here. He's here. He's as near as you as he can be. He lives within you. God in you. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for this word, for this time to gather with your people and learn about you more, study about you more, seek you more, seek a deeper understanding of you, Lord. We'll never, ever fully understand your grace, your love. But Lord, we keep looking to you. We keep watching you. We keep listening to you. Guide our lives. Guide our steps. Guide our lips. Guide our eyes. Wherever we go, may it be for you. May it be for your glory. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.